What up, fam? Today we're going to be talking about Thanksgiving, man. It's coming tomorrow, so we just wanted to give you guys some good thoughts, some love, some encouragement, and give you some personal stories about our Thanksgivings, family, traditions, all the good stuff. We hope you guys enjoy this episode. Here is Knights at the Roundtable. And welcome to another episode of Knights at the Roundtable. It's your boy, Man Weezy, with the Queen, Angela Johnson Reyes, to the left.
Hey,
B-Ree to the right. Be real.
Yo.
Hey, guys. Tomorrow is Thanksgiving on the 25th?
It's on a Thursday.
Yep, then it's tomorrow. Tomorrow is Thanksgiving. So if you're listening to this pre-tomorrow.
If you're listening to this when it drops.
When it drops, happy Thanksgiving tomorrow. Yeah. We pray an abundance of food and a deficit of calories, Lord. An abundance,
yes, Lord.
Abundance of sugar.
Evaporate those calories.
And we bind all that will come in the name of fat and calories.
Yes, bind them up, God.
I believe that there is a demon called caloric intake, and I just bind them to the pits of hell. I think that's what the preacher is saying.
What the devil meant to harm me.
What carbs thought that they would do.
What the devil meant to gain in my waistline,
the
Lord.
Lord beat it all in fasting.
Yes, God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Super Christian people will hate that intro. Man, guys, we're here. And in this episode, we're just going to be shooting the breeze about gratitude. And obviously, this is a different Thanksgiving than last Thanksgiving and even before. What was our last Thanksgiving?
It was just me, you, Penn, and Elijah.
It was, right?
And we made our own Thanksgiving while filming content
for
Prosecco. Ad that I got. I booked an ad for my Instagram. And
why are you laughing? Filmed. That was awesome.
It was great. I'm just saying that's what we did for Thanksgiving. We actually, we utilized it.
Where were you guys?
Maddie and I went up north, and that was actually a really special Thanksgiving because that was the last moment I spent with my grandmother.
Aww.
Yeah. What was so interesting about that day was it just felt so special, just the time being with each other.
Yeah.
And again, my grandmother used to live about, like, with traffic, like 55 minutes to an hour away from where my dad's house is. Mm-hmm. Without traffic, it's like 45, you know? Mm-hmm. And so sometimes that drive would be hella long. And especially after a day full of eating, you're just like tired and you're just like, I just want to sleep. I don't want to go on a long car ride.
Right.
Yeah.
And I remember my dad asked my sister and I was like, hey, do you want to go? We're going to take grandma back to her house. And I was like, yeah, I need to go. Like, and it was weird because I had that thought. Like, I legitimately had the thought. I'm not just now that she passed. But I was like, man, this could be the last time I spend with her. And my sister, again, no shame. She was like, I'm too tired, you know, whatever. And she doesn't even feel any remorse about it. So I'm happy she doesn't, because I'm not trying to put her in guilt. Like, yeah.
right.
I knew. Oh, you didn't.
Right.
And so,
but even your dad asking you to go.
Yeah. And so, again, because that was always kind of the thing. He's like, hey, and you guys want to roll? And I'm like, oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And just chat with my grandmother. And, you know, we was like, that was the last picture that I got to take with her. So that was really special. And I'm glad we got to have that in the midst of 2020.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that was like, it was a super special Thanksgiving, even though there was nothing else particularly special about it. Just the fact that we were together. Yo, we were still alive. There's no COVID. Like, you know, it just seemed like.
Did your
grandma
cook?
No, she didn't. Like, in these last couple of years, her memory was like, it was really tough.
Yeah.
So she used to be able to make like a incredible ham, and she'd always make that on Thanksgiving, and it was bomb. So like for a lot of years growing up, like we would spend time on my mom's side of the family. And so like, and that's a huge Mexican side. So we have everything, like, and then my mom would make her enchiladas and her salsa, which is like banging. And so it was like a Mexican Thanksgiving.
Yep.
And then we would add some like American favorites.
Yeah, you know?
Like I would be the guy that's like, hey, can I make some mac and cheese? You know? And so
I wish I had those kind of memories. I don't have any memories of Thanksgiving growing up. We didn't celebrate it.
Yeah,
didn't do anything.
Nothing, like not even happy things.
Sometimes,
say the words,
sometimes, but we would do like lechong, you know, like a pig, but it wasn't like a thing. You know what I'm saying? Like we didn't go to someone's house. We didn't.
Did you ever go to your friend's house for their Thanksgivings?
Maybe.
I don't remember.
Probably not enough for me to actually create a memory from it. You know, I literally cannot remember. anything about Thanksgiving. But I would like to, like, at what point should you start creating your own traditions?
I mean, we do. We have, what we have done was doing our family Thanksgiving.
Yeah, our Friendsgiving. We usually invite anybody in LA that doesn't have
exactly. And family. This was, again, before we decided to split our time with Nashville to where now we're like, we don't know where we're going to be on any given day. And then also it was before COVID. So it was like, doors open, anybody's welcome, right, you know? Yeah. And so it's that a different time now. But that was for, you know, the first 10 years of our marriage was Friendsgiving, and that was our little tradition.
Where are we going to be this time? Oh, we're going to go down to Texas.
Yeah. We're going to your parents.
I really want to, I don't know if anybody else thinks this way, but I think Thanksgiving is the perfect alley-oop to Christmas. So I kind of feel like they should be celebrated together.
I like the space in between the two because it gets to make the holiday season last that much longer.
Yeah.
If it was closer, then that would just kind of suck because Christmas tree would be right up and right down. Unless you're like,
no, but that's what I'm saying. So I think Christmas tree should go up on November 1st.
Oh, okay.
And just everything about November and December is all Christmas based because you're not really watching like what Thanksgiving movies are there.
Yeah, it's pre-Christmas.
Right. It's just pre-Christmas.
It's the warm-up.
It's the warm-up.
It's the Christmas shoot-around.
That's what I'm saying. The only thing that I can definitively watch during Thanksgiving all the time is all of the Friends Thanksgiving episodes.
Yeah. That's always fun.
It's the best. But there's no, like, Thanksgiving movie.
We should do, like, classic episodes of classic sitcoms and watch those Thanksgiving episodes. Like,
but does every sitcom do that? I only know Friends.
I mean, I'm sure The Cosby Show did that. I'm sure
Seinfeld.
Yeah, I'm sure there's lots. We should probably look at, I mean, at least the shows that we watched, you know, like not introduce brand new characters just to see their Thanksgiving episode. But I know that there's people who are like, hate Christmas decorations going up before Thanksgiving. And they're like, no, like it's annoying.
That's because they have no souls.
All of that. And the Christmas music at every store you go to and on the radio. I'm the type, I love hearing Christmas music everywhere I go in all the stores. And then towards the end of the year, it does start to get a little like, okay, I've heard this song 87 times. All right. But never fails. As soon as Christmas is done and they start not playing the Christmas music, I get sad.
Yeah.
For sure.
I immediately miss Christmas. And I want to like, I know, I guess our kind of tradition for this is, which again, we need to create a new Thanksgiving one. I don't know if our house will fit that many people this time around, but maybe between the ADU and our house, we can create this like outdoor type Thanksgiving, which could be fly. You know what I'm saying? People eat inside, outside, ADU.
It's nice.
We could squish.
Nice enough weather here too.
We had a, my first condo, it was 1300 square feet. We had maybe 30 people for Thanksgiving. Wow. We had my actual dining table, two fold-out tables down the hallway. So it's like a walkway. You're supposed to be walking to the bathroom.
Yeah.
We had a table in the hallway.
Are you talking about in NoHo when we used to live there?
And a table into the living room by the couch. So people were sitting on the couch. People were sitting at the fold-out tables. We had so many people in our tiny little condo. I remember.
Cool. We could fit some people. You can fit some people. I think we can make it work.
It's just not a fancy like table setup and everything. It's just like find a seat.
In our old house, we had like all the tables in the dining area.
In the
sitting area. We have more than enough. Yeah. Aw, it's okay, babe.
Well,
we get
growing up, our Thanksgivings were huge. All of our holidays were huge because it's our whole big family, which is a lot in itself. But then everybody would usually bring someone too. Like everybody brings a friend.
Yeah.
And everybody brings a dish. It's like potluck style, except for like the main things. Everybody knows who's doing the main things.
Right.
Everybody knows who's doing the turkey. My stepdad, Luke, would fry a turkey. We have somebody else baking a turkey. My Nino, who passed away, he would always bring the refried beans because we're Mexicans. We have to have, like you said, the Mexican things and the American things. We'd have the mashed potatoes, the ham. My Aunt Susie would bring the ham. My sister would make her enchiladas. My mom would make her meatballs. Like, my cousin Sonia bring her spinach dip. Like, everybody has their thing. Uncle Eddie, his bread pudding that he would make. So everybody has their traditional thing that they would bring.
Wait, I don't think I've gone to a Thanksgiving. We've only done...
Probably earlier in our marriage, but not lately.
Because this is all... I'm just thinking of Christmas.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Except minus turkey. Minus turkey, insert tamales.
Yeah.
But we would do the same thing for Thanksgiving and Christmas. But and then for Thanksgiving, we all go around the room and everybody says what they're thankful for. And the whole family, like there's probably like a good 40 people at the house at this point, sometimes 50. And we take time for every single person to get a chance to say what they are grateful for. There's always tears, always crying, always somebody giving usually Aunt Susie giving a speech or something. But every person, if you don't cry, it's probably because you are about to cry, so you wrapped it up real quick and passed it on to the next person. But
do you think this year is going to be different since we, you know, like I always feel like obviously, as life goes on and people live more life, like within family units, there's a little bit of like deterioration from like people dying.
Yep.
Marriage is not working.
Yeah.
You know, like broken hearts. Like it's different because now there's certain people ain't showing up no more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's true.
It feels like. Do we keep this going or like, again, I guess that's my thing is like, do you just fill in new people? Like, what is it? I don't know. I'm not used to this because I've never grew up doing anything familial. So I don't know the rules. Like, I don't know if this is just what families do. It's like, oh yeah, this is the new one. This is the new guy. This is the,
I mean, it's a little bit of both. It's a change of the guards, like the grandparents pass away, and then the next generation becomes the grandparents, and traditions, some stay, some change, and it's like growing and evolving. Like when I was younger and there's all of us there at Thanksgiving and Christmas and it was just my grandma, but there was years before where it was also my grandpa and it was a smaller family because none of these kids had kids, so you would have different traditions, you know. And then now that it's divorces, then it's like, hey, this part of the family is only coming for Thanksgiving because they have to go to their dad's for Christmas.
Right.
And so now it's like, it's changing and evolving. So you keep some of the traditions the same and then you evolve and grow. And
does it ever make you guys feel like it loses its power at that point? I literally thought this. We didn't go last year for Christmas. Did we go the year before that? I feel like we missed two Christmases.
You were sick.
Yeah. I was sick. Yeah,
I flew home to be with you on Christmas.
Two Christmases ago.
Yeah.
Last Christmas was COVID.
We stayed in an Airbnb. It was very sad.
Right.
And then.
No, it was actually really cute though. Log was burning.
It was cute.
It could be cute and sad.
It was sad cute.
So I was sick the year before. So it's been a while since we've been up to the Bay for Christmas. Right. Oh man. I have these feelings of like, if things start looking different, like, will it still maintain the same nostalgic feeling or should you switch it up? Like, should you just be like, all right, we got to create our own thing.
For sure. A little bit of both.
Yeah. It's, you know, like Andrew's saying, it kind of depends too who the matriarch or patriarch of the family is and, you know, how they have the ability to kind of call the shots on like what traditions we're doing. I know for my family, it's changed and it changed. Like we're still trying to catch our rhythm, to be honest. Because once my family split, I spent a lot of time with my dad. So I was a little bit cut off from my mom's side of the family, which was where all the magic from the holidays came from. So it kind of sucked there for a couple years. Cause I was like going over there, and there was like shit talking and this passive aggressive jabs at me. And I'm like, man, I'm just trying to feel the magic. And, I'm like, and y'all out here like telling me mean stuff. and then the magic sort of kind of happened again when Maddie came into my life.
Yeah.
Because one, it was like me and her. All of a sudden now I get to create my own thing with her. But then two, I'm now partnered with her family.
Mm-hmm.
So because both of our parents both split, there's like four different families.
Mm-hmm.
So it can get kind of hectic around the holidays because we just got to make sure everyone else feels like, okay, are you happy we showed up?
Yeah.
Good. We saw you. We love you. We got to go to the next one.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's funny because even, I think even recently, because this will be the first Christmas that we spend on our own without family down here in Los Angeles. And that's partly because of what how schedules worked out with work and stuff. And so I'm kind of excited about it, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
Like, I love my family, but I'm also, like, excited to kind of start our own because I'm like, now we get to make our own traditions.
Yeah.
Cute.
And not feel bad about it. Like, that's the thing sometimes with some families. Like, it was a little bit my mom's side of the family, like, them low-key, like, throwing shade because I'm not going over there for holidays.
Mm.
Of like, oh, look at you. You forgot about your family, you know, and the guilt trip. And I'm like, well, no, I didn't forget about family. I got my own family now.
Yeah.
And we got our own family traditions that we're starting new, you know. And again, obviously things will change again.
Yeah.
You know, in a couple of years, Maddie and I have kids. That's going to change.
Yeah.
We can't be flying everywhere. Like, y'all fly to us, you right. know.
What are some traditions that you're excited about doing with you and Maddie this year?
You know, one is actually doing a real tree. Previous years we've done kind of some smaller trees and kept it low key, but this year we're actually getting like a big real tree in our spot. So I'm excited about that. And then we're doing these ornaments for all of our favorite people. So like we're picking different ornaments. So like you guys will have different ornaments that represent you on our tree.
That's cool.
And so it'll kind of be like this magical thing of like, oh, you see that? Like, we got one for Blue, right? Blue is like this little, like, I think it's like a little puppy treat ornament or whatever. My dog is absolutely obsessed with treats.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can get him to follow you anywhere. Like, there is no stranger danger for my dog. Give him a treat, that young man will follow you. But so I'm excited about that.
Is Johnny's ornament a martini glass? If it's not, that's
it should be sad. I don't know what Maddie's picking out, but it should be like to represent his Vesper.
Yeah.
He always gets that everywhere we go. And so that's something I'm really excited about. Maddie and I getting gifts for each other has never really been a huge thing.
Yeah.
Like we're just like, because we're usually spending that money on tickets and our family's hella big. So I'm like, bro, if we were to actually buy gifts for everybody, bro, that's that's so much money. We're not doing that.
Yeah.
I'm going to put that shit in Bitcoin. And then
here's your Christmas gift, a Bitcoin for you. A Bitcoin for you.
Oh my God, I'd be excited if that were true.
Dude, if I got that, man, I would be at whoever's house every single holiday.
We should do that for our family.
Babe, one Bitcoin is $66,000.
Oh, I thought it was like dollar for dollar.
No.
I don't understand Bitcoin.
It's all good. Because shoot. Anyways, and then two, I think also figuring out what we want to make. Like with my mom's side of the family, during the holidays, depending on where people were at, for the most part, it was mostly Christmas, but some Thanksgivings we'd actually make homemade tamales. And it was so good. So I remember being there in the kitchen with my grandmother and my mom's side and us making it and having the husk and putting the sort of paste on there and stuffing it with the meat and the mole. And sometimes we put a little olive if you're feeling like a little like, hey, fold that thing up. You put it in the big pan and then steam. And so we'll probably do that for, we won't do that for Thanksgiving because I'll be with my dad, but we'll do that for Christmas because I actually bought the pan and my mom's going to be with us. So we're for sure going to make that. But
Your mom's coming for Christmas.
Yeah.
Oh, and my sister. Nice. Oh, that'll be nice.
So
that'll be dope.
Now it's kind of cool because my sister, she'll spend holidays wherever I'm at.
Yeah.
Aww.
So it's kind of cool because it's like we're kind of breaking free from a little bit of the tradition of like always going to dad's or always going to mom's. Mm-hmm. And now it's kind of like we're together.
Yeah.
So it's funny because I think looking back on the magic of nostalgia, it can be such a dangerous thing. And dangerous is because it's always this reminiscent of things were better then. And I remember what that felt like as a kid because it was new and you were part of something. But the challenge is not comparing now with what was.
Right.
Of like, there's actually newfound freedom to create something and it could be just as magical if you can see it.
Yeah.
Right.
And so I think like that's the biggest thing of like, hey, I'm just trying to create something awesome with my family, friends.
I love that. I think there's like we've been talking about traditions change as circumstances change, but I remember when my parents were married, we had our traditions. And then after they get divorced, our tradition was Christmas Eve, we would go with my dad to his sister's house, my Auntie Jean, and we would have dinner there. We would go with her to midnight mass at Catholic church. And then we would open gifts when we got home because Santa came, you know. Or if we didn't go to midnight mass, then we would all have to go to, quote unquote, sleep. Everybody go in the room to sleep. And then after midnight, then we would come out and be like, Santa came. And then we would open our gifts and stuff. And then my dad would pile us into his Nissan Sentra that had like air bubbles in the window tint. And he probably had a coupon for it. And he would drive us back to my mom's house. And I remember that drive always being really sad. And it was like dark. It was nighttime. It was late at night. We're tired. It's Christmas music. And I just remember it being sad. Mm-hmm. But that was that season. And then you grow up. And then now it's like you're driving your own car. You know, and so now we meet dad not at Auntie Jean's house. Now we go to a restaurant for Christmas Eve. Mm-hmm. And then we go back to my sister's house and we play a game with my dad. We play money games. And then we started the money game traditions. Money game traditions didn't start until like we were teenagers because we didn't do that growing up like as kids. So it's like the traditions change. We do this thing with my dad where he makes up all these games based on like wit and athleticism, and you have to try to like get a quarter into a, you know, soda bottle or whatever it is. And then if you do, you get $20 and, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah,
so we play a bunch of like money games with my dad, and that became a tradition for a while. And then now we don't do that anymore. But
well, again, because of, you know, I think it's families are so funny because it's like your whole experience for the holiday is accumulation of what happened that year, you know. Right. And I remember we stopped doing money games because you guys had a falling out with your pops or something like that. So and it's like, all right, no more money games. That was my favorite tradition because it was so much fun. It was.
I might have to start that.
That was one thing that I wanted to take into wherever I go because it was so. My parents played one year and they had so much. My mom, I haven't seen my mom laugh so hard than when we did Make It Rain. So Make It Rain is when her dad would stand up on a
step stool
and then just start throwing money, like making it rain up in the air. And how whatever you catch, you keep. And so my mom just couldn't stop laughing every time she missed something. And she just keep laughing and started crying. And she had like maybe $3. She just laughed so hard at the idea of trying to catch this money. But it was so dope. Like we had so much. And no one ever really made a lot. Maybe somebody came home with 200, 100 here, 80 here. But everybody was like, oh, you know, everybody got something.
It was fun. That's it was the big experience. It was the memories. It was the laughing. It was the time, the community, the relationship, that time spent together.
It was, I would love to do that again. And it's fun, like, when you're a kid, because if you're good at it, could you imagine playing that with E? Like, he would, if he left with $50, he'd be like, oh my God, I'm rich.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it would be amazing.
Yeah. Own traditions.
Yeah.
I want to start,
I'm excited for my brother Kenny and his partner Theo. They're not coming to Christmas this year. And I mean, we didn't even know what we were doing. So I'm kind of happy for them that they're starting their own new tradition as well, because they moved to New York.
Right.
And typically they would split holidays. They would come to our family for either Thanksgiving or Christmas, and then Theo's family for Thanksgiving or Christmas.
Yeah.
And they would just switch back and forth. But this year they're just staying in New York and they're just going to do them. And they're like, if anybody wants to come, you can come because we're going to be here in New York. So I'm happy for them that they're starting something new for themselves. And then we'll still go back to the Bay and it'll just be a small thing. We were on a big group text with like my whole family. Well, just representatives of my whole family. Cause when I say there's 50 deep, that's not an exaggeration. There's like 50 deep. And so it'll just be like the representatives of each family on this text thread. And we decided that this year we're going to do just our small immediate families again, as we let COVID kind of still figure itself out.
What's the small immediate family?
So for us, it's just me, you, Veronica, Austin, my mom, and Luke, and Mitchell. It's just
So we're not meeting up at Celia's.
No, not at my aunt Celia's. And then we'll do Christmas Eve with my dad. My dad will probably just come over to Veronica's house, and it'll be just small. Just keep it small again this year. But you know,
wait, Veronica's her little whatever, and it's just okay. That's gonna look, it's gonna look so different.
Yeah, right. Things change and adjust, and you know, divorces, world pandemics. It's like a whole thing.
Yeah.
But I want to read these right here. This is as we're talking about Thanksgiving and gratitude. You know, you can go into what does Thanksgiving mean, and we can get into like the politics of it all. But I choose to still celebrate Thanksgiving for what I believe I'm doing, which is it's just a day to practice gratitude for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't go back to the first Thanksgiving. So to me, Thanksgiving is a day to practice gratitude, which I love gratitude. And this here is from health.harvard.edu. In positive psychology research, gratitude is strongly and consistently associated with greater happiness. Gratitude helps people feel more positive emotions, relish good experiences, improve their health, deal with adversity, and build strong relationships. And then healthline.com says the benefits of gratitude practice are you can improve your sleep quality, improve your emotional regulation, increase feelings of happiness and positive mood, foster hope for the future, reduce stress, burnout, and symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder, and increase resilience. So for me, and these are the last ones too. This was from livestrong.com. Benefits of gratitude. It can make you happier. It may reduce anxiety and depression. It can encourage healthier behaviors. It might improve your physical health. It makes for better relationships, and it can help with recovery. So gratitude was something that I would always practice with my anxiety. Anytime I would feel depressed, anxious, just kind of sad, kind of blah, gratitude is a tool that I would go to help change my perspective, but not only change my perspective, but like scientifically alter my body with just practicing gratitude. So on this Thanksgiving, wherever you are, if you're home alone and you don't have anybody to celebrate with, if you're with your family and you love your family, if you're with your family and you don't love your family and it's a hard time, and or you love them, but it's hard to love them, wherever you are, I would just encourage you to think about this past year and find five things that you can be grateful for in this past year. Think about, go back to your calendar if you keep a calendar and remind yourself of like things that you did this year. If you keep a journal, go back through your journal and read some of your journal entries. Call a friend that you know you spend a lot of time with and reminisce with them on this past year. And just take some time to say five things that you're grateful for. Say them out loud so that you can hear yourself saying the things that you're grateful for. And you start activating all of your senses. It's not just your thoughts, because thoughts do matter. Thoughts are matter. But once you say it, then you hear it. And you're activating your ears. And it's coming back into your body. The gratitude is coming out of your body. And then it's going back into your body. And it's just a way to do all of these things. Elevate your life just by a simple act of practicing gratitude on a day that is called Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's very much a mental exercise, because gratitude has to exist in a place that you see the good and the bad. Because I think we all can easily point out what we don't have, what's going wrong, what's
absolutely
whatever. But to be able to look at the wrong and see what's right about it, or the bad and see what's good about it.
Right.
Man, if you can really master this gratitude thing, you can, it's like, I like to think of it as like a damn superpower. It really is. Yeah. If you can look at bad and see good, then what can get you down? Like, if you're able to remix every situation in your life and really see what good can come out of it, then you're not scared of bad times. You're not scared of what everybody else would be scared of. You know, you're not scared of heartbreak. You're not scared of lack. You're just understanding that there's something good in everything.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm going to see. It's freaking powerful.
It is to me, like, gratitude and joy go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because it reminds me of the story. I remember I was a sophomore in college and there was this huge fire, this apartment complex that had gotten lit on fire. And I remember us watching this burning building. Like, it was one of the most mesmerizing things. And so obviously once the fire, you know, had completely consumed the building, it's just charred, right? And so it didn't get, like, taken care of until weeks later, right? Somebody came in and started to revamp it or whatever. So I remember in the meantime, one of those days, I was just, like, wanted to explore. So I went inside the building that was on fire. And I remember stepping in these rooms and everything was just completely consumed, charred up, burnt, right? You're, like, stepping in places. And I had to be really careful because I didn't want to go on that second floor where those, mm-hmm. you know, you could fall through. So I stayed on the first floor. And I remember one of these apartments had two bedrooms. One of the bedrooms didn't have any windows, right? That would have been depressing as hell to live in that one.
Mm-hmm.
And so I walk in and it is completely dark in the room. At that time, I had a BlackBerry. So I didn't have a flashlight on it, but I felt fly as hell in my BlackBerry. I was like, hey. And I remember walking into the room and in the corner of the room, a certain place of the wall had burned completely through. And so there was like this like light beam that was coming through the window, although it was very small. But, you know, when you're in a dark room and you see light beam and it shines on the floor and it's actually because there's so much like grime and stuff in the air that that light beam feels like it has like a sort of physical property
right.
to it.
Right.
So I was like, oh my God, this is so cool. And I tried to take some like artsy photos. They came out terrible. But I just remember I was there for what felt like a long time. And I was just interacting with this light beam. And I was like, man, this is so cool. The way that this little piece of light is shining through this dark room. And to me, I think that's what gratitude and joy is. Like, you could have been in a burning building where everything has felt like it's been completely charred or burnt up. But there's still some beauty left in that, mm-hmm. right? That's what gratitude gives you the eyes for. That's what I would argue joy gives you the eyes for, is that although it might feel like there is this huge dark cloud all around you and in the world, there are some little small ways where light is still shining through.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to still see that is something that's so powerful because, like, you know, the truth is, it's like I was listening to this Rob Bell message called An Introduction to Joy. And I love it. It's one of my favorite messages to hear because every time I hear it, I always feel like I leave either my phone or whatever. And I'm just like, man, I'm just going to enjoy all of it. And so he ends up walking through Ecclesiastes. And Ecclesiastes can be one of the most depressing books of the Bible, or it could be empowering. It depends on the lens in which you're seeing it, right? Mm-hmm. So the writer goes to say, everything is meaningless. Nothing has meaning.
Right.
Nothing is new under the sun. Like, you're going to work your whole life to build something. And then there's a generation that comes after you that might just throw that away.
Yeah.
Like, you toil, you know, you work your hands to a bone, but it's all meaningless.
Mm.
That sounds so depressing.
Yep.
Right.
And, you know, even in Job, he would talk about this, like, your life is but a vapor. Like, it's like a shadow. Like, you are here today, gone tomorrow, truly.
Mm-hmm.
And so even in his talk, Rob Bell has a little, like, water bottle, like a little squeezy, and he squeezes and you see this mist and it almost instantly disappears, and he's like, this is your life. Like, everything that we're doing, it's like it's vapor management. So that means that while we're here for that short time, let's enjoy this thing. You don't need to figure out all these big things. Just find something you love. Find something you're passionate about. You're lucky if you can do that.
And
just enjoy all of it. And I was thinking about that and I was like, man, I have a tendency to really focus on all the things that are not going right in my life. And then I just remember, like, man, like, this thing's but a vapor.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to be gone tomorrow in the grand scheme of things. Like, I need to find something that I could really enjoy and just, like, soak it all in. And to me, that's what, like, joy and gratitude. It's like, it's so big that it doesn't, like, ignore the things that are going wrong or bad, but it's big enough to have that still in the mix and say, there are still things for me to be grateful for. There's still things that I could look forward to. There's still things that have happened in my life that I am so thankful that have happened. And, like, that's why it's such a powerful thing, because it's like, that is the strength that can sustain you for the long run, for the whole thing.
No, I agree.
That's awesome.
So what are you grateful for, babe?
Ooh,
what are you going to give thanks for?
This year.
You got so much to be thankful for.
Oh, I do. I do. I am grateful for you always.
Yeah.
I'm grateful for your bravery, your leadership. I'm grateful for your guidance, your wisdom. I'm grateful for your support and your loyalty. I'm grateful that you never let me you never let me stay where I'm not supposed to be. Even though I hate it in the moment. It's one of those, my dad spanking me growing up. I'm not saying I'm so grateful for this spank. But later on in life, I'm like, man, that season shaped who I am and taught me some things. Same thing, like when we're in like a heated discussion because you're challenging me to be better. You're sharpening me because iron sharpens iron. Oh, it doesn't feel good. Doesn't feel good at all. Stings the nostrils. Just kidding. But I'm so grateful that I have you in my life to be that, to not let me settle, to not let me be mediocre, to not let me be negative, but to sharpen me. I'm very grateful for you. I love you.
Thanks, Queen.
Yeah, you're my most grateful this year.
I'm trying.
Manny, what are you grateful for, man?
You know, I'm grateful for my queen. I am because, who was I talking to? I was talking to Penstifer and I was telling her, I was like, I think the most important thing that I've realized when it comes to marriage is to be a fan of one another. And what I mean by that is sometimes I have outer body experiences where I get to look at my queen like as if I'm on the outside looking in and I'm just enamored with your life, your heart, your bravery, all these things. And I'm just like, how can you not like this person? You know what I'm saying? Like, how can you not? That's where my frustration comes with Hollywood. I'm just such a fan of you and everything, you know, who you are as a person. So I find myself very grateful. For you. I'm grateful for B and Maddie.
Yes.
Because if not, we'd
Amen.
Either be homeless in Nashville or spending $10,000 a month on a whack ass freaking Airbnb. You know? And mind you, we're coming up on almost a fucking year. So it's like I'm super grateful.
So grateful. Definitely.
That it hasn't in the times where I've tried to tiptoe around and act like, oh my God, I don't want to piss you guys off. Like, you've never made us feel that way. Never made me feel bad. Today I felt horrible because I was like, shit, I had two bowls of this damn cereal and it's gone. I have to rush to the store immediately them a new one.
I wouldn't have noticed.
And Maddie goes, doesn't matter. That's been there for weeks. We don't.
There's sometimes where I'm like, am I too comfortable? Let me think about my actions lately because I feel too comfortable.
You know what, though? Here's why I'm grateful with this relationship, because I remember when we did have a house a year ago and you guys would come over. I told Ange this. You want to know one of the most grateful moments where I realized that you guys felt like you were family? When you come into our house, you go straight to the fridge, open it, and just get what you want. Most people will see that as like, what the fuck? Like, this is, you know, like, your mom will teach you against that.
That was definitely me.
But when
I'm always hungry.
But when somebody knows,
yeah,
that they have that comfort, that they can do that, then they really believe you when you say, what's mine is yours, what's yours is mine, we're a family.
Yeah.
They don't think, do I need to ask to, you know what I'm saying? They just think, no, we're family. This is what family. You drink it, we get another one. Mm-hmm. No one's keeping tabs. No one's keeping.
Yeah.
And so I'm really grateful for that because I think, you know, we're getting the opportunity to like live that out. Yeah. The idea of family, the idea of community. It's not just like talk. Oh, I'll be there for you if you need me. It's like, no, I have been there. Mm-hmm. I have been there. Like when you needed it, totally there and would do it again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that I'm uber, uber, uber grateful for.
Samesies.
Yeah. I'm thankful for you guys because I think, well, you guys have become family to us, like in a very real and profound way. Like just the thought of like, you know, because that's always the thought, I guess, like if you have some really close friends, like we, and some people have had this before, like you start living with somebody and you're like, yeah, we're friends, but we're not like, I think we're going to have to take a step back in this friendship. Messy and stuff. I had a roommate like that once and like, we're not cool no more. But with you guys, I feel like I'm like, oh, this fits right in. Like, and this just proves to me, I was like, oh yeah, we're actually really friends. Like, this isn't like this, like play pretend that we try and like put on or whatever, but like on a very real way. And then I'm really thankful for Maddie. I mean, I always like, it's funny. And one of the things that I really hate is when I talk about my wife in such a, you know, I adore that woman. And you get kind of some old heads that be like, well, just wait till you hit, you know, fill in the blank, or just wait. You like, you guys haven't really been through it. And I'm like, y'all been saying that to me since year one, like in a month or now a month, we're coming up on year five, six years together. And I'm like, and it's been incredible. I wake up in the mornings, usually before Maddie, and I'll just look over, and sometimes if she's up, I'll just like smile at her, you know, because it's like, it's one of those funny things where it's too early to talk because you can't control like how soft you talk. You just, you don't have any control of your voice that early. So you're going to be like, hey, I love you. So you just smile until I can get my voice, because that first time you talk in the morning, it's always like, you don't know how loud it's going to be.
And you don't know how far your breath fumes are going to travel.
And so I'll just like look over, I'll just smile. And I just like, I have nothing but just like the deepest amount of love for her. Like, I just want to like hug her all the time and just kiss her beautiful face. And it's funny because sometimes I can tell she gets annoyed with me. I just want to like hug her and just kiss her. And she's like, she'll just pat me on the back like, okay, I'm going to go grab some chicken nuggets from the freezer. Thank you. I love you too. You
Maddie's know? Me. That's how I am.
And I'm like, let me just hold you. Let me just hug you. I just want to kiss your cheeks. Yeah, so I'm super thankful for her because she is such a steadying force in my life. And I was thinking about this the other day, like what I feel in my relationship with her, that's really the only proof I have of heaven.
Mm.
Like, I would really love to believe in heaven after. I think I lean more towards like us spending like eternity with God. But like, I have to think that wasn't like Jesus's goal for us. Like, it was never for us to get to a place. It was for us to be a place for each other. And like, that's what I'm thankful for, because what Maddie brings to me and her essence, it's like, it is a heaven. It is a paradise for me. And like, if that was all I had and there was no eternal paradise, like afterlife, dude, oh my God, I'm so thankful for that gift, you know? So I'm thankful for all that she is, all that she does, who she is in my life, and just her constant love and encouragement. So
yeah.
Amen. Maddie moment.
Man, that's really, oh my God, we haven't had a Maddie moment. Oh, this ain't the one. This ain't the machine. It's that.
The song said, and I'm so grateful because I love you so much.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
much. It would have been perfect.
I gotta bring it into this one. We have two roads, man. You said something that was actually really profound. And we're going to end right here, but I think we should talk about this in another podcast, another episode. But I never thought about what you just said. Like, God's intention is for us to get somewhere more so than it is for us to be the thing. Because when they asked Christ, how should we pray? He said, pray like this. And he said, you know, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And I'm always curious. I always wonder, like, why say that? Like, this earth sucks. It's nowhere near what the heaven is. But I sometimes wonder if that was the real goal, was to make earth feel a little bit more like heaven. if we adopted the principles of Christ, like I think it would. Obviously, it's not that, but man, I think even if you meditated on that, like what if the goal wasn't to get you there, but to bring there here?
Yeah.
I still have that prayer memorized from my Catholic days and from reciting it with my grandma. She used to have a blanket, a knitted blanket hanging over her bed that would have that prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, it's really such a powerful thing, is like, because again, like nothing else is guaranteed. Like this moment is all we have truly, and like life is already a hell of it in itself. There's already enough hurt, there's already enough pain, there's a lot of broken hearts, and there's a lot of shitty people. And again, like if your goal is to get somewhere else, then you're not living here.
Yeah, no, you're escaping.
You're escaping. And to me, that's like, I think we're far more stronger, powerful people than just trying to escape. Like, I'm like, let me actually be heaven in my relationships and my community, because that's all I can be. And that's all that's promised. So,
yeah. Well, look, guys, we hope that you have an amazing, amazing Thanksgiving. We'd love, actually, for the Patreon members, we'll probably talk on the 19th, so they'll be before this. So if you guys would love to be a part of our monthly conversations where we have a Zoom call with our VIP Patreon members, join us, won't you? There's a link in the description of this episode where you guys can support, be a part of it all. We love you. Happy Thanksgiving wherever you're at, and we pray that it's amazing, and we also pray that in that place, that you find a seat at the table. Don't let grandma kick you out.
Don't sit at the kiddie table.
But if you don't, you are always welcome at ours. We love you guys. Happy Thanksgiving. Cheers.